Welcome to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. This program is designed to teach and educate you about the history and the infallibility of God's holy word. We trust you'll find today's program challenging and encouraging. Your host, Bruce Musselman, combines many years' experience as a pastor, author, and conference speaker. Here now with today's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
All right, it's so glad to be with you once again. And the Bible says this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Of course, we can rejoice, Jesus said, because our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But we're going to try to make some comments on Passover. The Jewish people are celebrating that right now. And we'll talk about what the Bible says about it. It's a very important Jewish feast, and it's the very, very heart of Christianity, Passover. And so before I do, though, Brother Al has something to tell you, and so go ahead, preacher.
Well, thank you, Bruce, and good to be with you again. Just want to encourage everybody here as we're talking about this, they call it the Holy Week. And you'll be talking about why it is with Passover there in just a few minutes. But remind everybody that you can go online to whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And you can listen to past programs there. We've had reports of people listening to those programs. And so I encourage you to check that out, whereisgodsword.com. You can learn more about Bruce Musselman there. And you can also see some of the materials and find some of the materials that he references from time to time. Well, today I wanted to look at something here. All this news about the COVID-19, the coronavirus in the news. And it occurred to me as I was thinking about this in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31. The Bible says, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And I thought to myself, well, if everything he made was very good, where do viruses come in? And most times when we think of viruses, we think of an epidemic. We think of some kind of disease, some kind of sickness, people even dying. And so we can't think of much good that comes from viruses. Well, in Psalm 104, in verse 24, the psalmist said, O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all, the work of the earth is full of thy riches. And so the things that God made, including viruses, he says he's made them all. And he says, how manifold are thy works, in wisdom thou hast made them all, including viruses, which he said in Genesis chapter 131, verse 31, he says, very good. So the earth is full of thy riches. And I did some reading on viruses, and it turns out that you think there's a lot of people in the world, a lot of insects in the world, a lot of bacteria in the world. They always said bacteria, the most common thing in the world. Actually, they now believe there's probably more viruses than any other thing. And viruses are very interesting. It's essentially some genetic code, either RNA or DNA, in a protein sheath. And the only way it can replicate is to infect another cell, hijack that cell's machinery to replicate its own genetic code, and then when it produces enough of itself, then they burst out of the cell and they go out and infect others. How can that be very good? Well, it turns out it's really only a relatively small number of the viruses that we've identified so far that actually cause diseases. Most of the viruses out there, they're finding, actually accomplish very good things. For instance, there are viruses that cause some plants to be drought resistant. Some viruses cause other plants to be heat resistant. There are viruses that are on the mucus linings of your mouth and your eyes, your nose, your lungs, throughout your digestive tract that confer protection against invading bacteria. And we're finding that there's some amazing things that viruses do. One of the things that they do is when an invading bacteria comes in, tries to get into your system, the viruses attack that. They latch themselves onto those bacteria. They infect those bacteria, thereby producing more of themselves and killing the bacteria and protecting you. So there's a lot of good that they actually do. And we've also found that some of the viruses they're experimenting with using to cure cancer. They can target a cancer cell with a virus that ignores the healthy cells and goes straight for the tumor cells, attaches themselves, and infects the tumor cells, and thereby killing off the tumor cells. It's really kind of exciting. It's a far cry from when I studied viruses in college back in the late 70s and early 80s. We know so much more about them today. And so truly, when God said everything that he created was good and that he has these marvelous things, marvelous works that he's responsible for, and then I thought we think about this as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we think of the very reason that Jesus Christ went to the cross. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And when you receive Christ as your Savior, it's like receiving an inoculation against the virus of the sickness of sin, and you can be delivered from your sin through Christ. So it's really amazing all the things that God has created for his glory. And it's just amazing the more we learn about God's creation. Well, Bruce, back to you.
Okay, thank you for that. Those comments, and they're always excellent. I enjoy listening to them. And I'm sure that you do, too. And I really appreciate Brother Al Davis. He's pastor of Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And I was thinking, listening to that, and I feel like calling him Dr. Al. But, I want to look at Exodus chapter 12 and talking about Passover, because Jewish people are talking about that now, celebrating that. So we make some comments on that today that I believe will be helpful. It says in Exodus chapter 12, verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. So Israel on Passover, when they have that, that would be the beginning of the first month of the year. Now, it's a picture, again, of for us as believers in the Lord, it will be the beginning when somebody puts their faith in Jesus Christ. God passes over their sins, and so it's the beginning of their life, the new life, the being born again and starting a new life with God. Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. Now, and if the household be too little for the lamb, let him neighbor next unto his house, take unto it according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Now, if you read the Jewish history, you see that one of their prophets, considered a great prophet, was John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And when God met the Jewish people, and they accepted Jehovah as the God of Israel, and they said, Moses said he would give them the Ten Commandments, and they said, we will keep all of these things, but he went up to the mountain while he was up there where they made a golden calf, and then they broke the commandments, and so the commandments were broken right off the beginning. But they said that they would keep them all, which they didn't, because the Bible says, cursed is everyone that confirmeth not to do according to all that is written in the book of the law. Now, I just quoted Moses himself. And if you break one of the commandments, then you have the curse of God on you. So how did God deal with Israel at that point? Well, he dealt with them by them bringing a lamb and killing that lamb as a substitute. It was called an atonement, which means covering. When their sin was covered temporarily at that time, when they brought that sacrifice, and their sin was covered up by the lamb. And so when they went out of Egypt, God had told Pharaoh, he said, let my people go. And, of course, he didn't do it. And so God gave many plagues to them. And finally, he said, and they had the opportunity to do this, but he said, every firstborn in Egypt could die, is going to die unless you put the blood on the door. You put it above the lintel, you put it on both sides. It reminds us of the cross of Jesus. And so he said, you put that blood there, and if you put that blood there, he said, your firstborn would stay alive. But if the blood was not there, your firstborn would die. No question about it. And so we read in Exodus, the Egyptians, they looked at the Jewish people, they looked at shepherds as an abomination and with great disgust, at sheep with great disgust. And so the blood of the lamb they looked at with great disgust. And it's a picture that people today, without God, look at the blood of Jesus with disgust and ridicule. And so they do not sacrifice that blood. So that night, God says, you will sacrifice the animal, you will eat the animal, and then that is the lamb, and then you will put its blood on the doorpost, and all the firstborn will live. But if there's blood, no blood there, they will all die. And it just pictures that in our time, it's a picture of Jesus. If you don't have his blood covering you, and this is a teaching all through the Bible, Moses said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So according to the Mosaic law, there's no forgiveness. There's no taking. Remission is more than just covering. It's a taking away of sin. So the sin is not taken away. And the firstborn, people that are born only once, they die. You have to be born again. And so all the firstborn die. And the people that want to go to heaven without the blood of Jesus being shed for our sins, without their putting their faith in that blood, there's not a ghost of a chance that they will ever make heaven. Just as the Israelites. Now, if the Jewish person said, well, I don't believe in this nonsense, and I'm not going to put any blood on the door, then he would die too. The firstborn would die in that house. So that night, God says, okay, we're moving out of Egypt. And he says, you are moving out of Egypt that night. Put the blood on the door on that particular night. And then leave. And so the Jewish people did that. They put the blood on the door, and then they walked out of Egypt. And it's just a picture of a person. When they put their, by faith, they put the blood of Jesus over their life, they are forgiven. They start a new life, and they leave the bondage of slavery. Just like the Jewish people, they were slaves in Egypt, but they left that night when the blood was shed, and they took the blood and they put it on the doorpost. So when you put your faith in Jesus, no matter what your addiction is, whether it's drugs or whether it's liquor or whether it's any kind of pornography or anything like that, when you put your faith in that blood and you're willing to repent and turn from it, God gives you deliverance over any kind of a sin or any kind of a problem. And even if you pick it up later on, you can trust in that blood, and you can trust in Jesus and his death on the cross to take away the addiction. Jesus said he came to save his people from their sin. And it is not only the penalty of sin, but the power of sin. He breaks that power in your life. And what a wonderful thing that is. What a wonderful message that is. And there's no addiction that you have today that Jesus' blood cannot take away your sin, cannot free you from the addiction. The Bible says, when Jesus was born, the angel said to Mary, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. So he saves them from the penalty of sin, we'll meet God without any record we ever sinned in great joy. And not only that, in this life, from the power of sin in this life. And once again, what a wonderful thing we can thank God for. Now, we're going to keep on reading in this chapter and talk about it and how it's a picture and it's a type of Jesus. Now, I want to say this again, and I'm going to repeat myself here. Moses said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Some people say, well, I think I'll be saved and try to please God by the keeping of the law. But then the Bible says, by the deeds of the law shall no man be justified, because nobody has ever kept it, and no man can keep it. We are sinful people. And Moses said, I'll repeat this once again. He says, cursed is everyone that confirmeth not to do according to all that is written in the book of the law. If you don't do the whole thing all the time, you got the curse of God on you. But that's where Jesus, as the Lamb of God, not only was he an atonement covering our sin, but he was one that took away our sin. And so he came to do that. And so we can meet God with joy. And we can have a relationship with him in joy and peace and satisfaction and all these good things that God brings to us through what Jesus did when he died. So John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The Jewish people had killed probably millions of lambs and other animals as sacrifices. But when Jesus came, it was only one sacrifice was all that was needed. And those sacrifices never took away sin. They were just called an atonement death and a covering for sin. But Jesus took them away. Now, when you did that, if people wanted to start the sacrificial system today, it would be impossible, because the sacrifice had to be made where God put his name. God put his name at the temple in Jerusalem. And so the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. So you can't even follow the Mosaic law today. But not only that, though, God finally, when the temple was destroyed, God put his name on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we come to him, since his name is on Jesus, and that we can't come to the temple anymore, but we can come to Jesus, we are forgiven, and our sins are taken away, and our name is written in heaven. And what a wonderful thought that is. And so we'll continue on here. Now, it says here, and every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers. Everybody must take a lamb or they're going to die. And that includes Israel. It includes everybody. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house make it according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating, to make your account for the lamb. So they had to eat the lamb. Now, we don't eat Jesus physically, but we eat him spiritually by receiving his words that his body was broken for us, his blood was shed for us. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Now, Jesus was out without blemish. That is, he never committed a sin. Jesus says, which of you convinceth me of sin? And so Jesus, when he died as a sacrifice for us, he had to be a perfect sacrifice. If he had sin on him, it wouldn't do any good. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. So all Israel was to kill it, and that was to kill the lamb. And so that is what happened to Jesus, and he was put to death. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh, and that night roast with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs, and shall eat it. And it pictures the suffering of Jesus, and that the fact that it was roasted in fire, and it pictures God's judgment on Jesus as a substitute for us. What a wonderful thought that is. I don't have to go to hell. I can be free and meet God in joy because Jesus has paid it all. Eat not of it raw nor sodden, eat it at all with water, but roast with fire his bread and his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. You shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. Thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. So, every person must come through taking of that Passover. And if they didn't take the Passover, they're put to death. And that's pictured spiritually. Without the blood of Jesus being applied to us, there is no life with God. And the blood shall ye be to you for a token unto upon the houses wherein ye are. And when ye see, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now, isn't that wonderful? I mean, God will pass over us and our sin when he sees the blood of Jesus on us. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it for a feast to the Lord throughout all your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Now, they're still doing it today. And it is pictured the fact that they were in slavery, but God took the whole nation out of slavery. And how did he do it? When they put the blood on the doorpost. And God saw the blood, and he passed over them. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever shall eat leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And so, the matzah that is eaten today is unleavened. We know that matzah that is eaten at Passover, the leaven is always a type of sin. And if you look at that thing, it has stripes on it. And it pictures the stripes that Jesus took. As Isaiah 53, it says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. And so they beat Jesus. And you probably, some of you have seen it in the Passover plot. They beat him, and so those stripes, or those things on the matzah, you see it. They're pictures, the stripes of Jesus, and then you see the where the holes are in the matzah, and that is a picture of where they put the nails into his hands and into his feet. And once again, it's a picture of Jesus. And then they put the matzah is wrapped up in a cloth, and I think it's called the afikoman. And they put it in the cloth, and it is hidden for a short time, and then it is taken out of the cloth. And when it is put in the cloth, the Jewish people, when somebody died, they wrapped them up in a cloth. So it pictures the death of Jesus. But when they take him out of the cloth, they take the matzah, which is a picture of Jesus. Unleavened bread, that is a picture of Jesus rising from the dead. And so our Lord said when he was on the earth, he said he's going to die for the sins of the world. He said the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. And so he came to be the Lamb of God, to die as a substitute. And those animals could never take away sin. That's why it was an atonement, his covering. But Jesus took away the sin. And so he said that he was going to die, and he says, I'm coming out the third day. And so you can go over there and you can see the rich man's tomb where they put his body, but I went over there and checked it. His body wasn't there. And I knew it already, because after Jesus rose from the dead, just as he had promised, and he said he'd rise from the dead, 500 people saw him alive after that time. And so many of the apostles and so many Jewish people saw him that it caused a spiritual explosion. And if you read the New Testament, everybody in the world heard about it. that Jesus has paid the price of sin, and we can have fellowship with God. Well, what a wonderful thing that is. And so at Passover, it means when I see the blood, I will pass you. Well, thank God for Jesus. We can rejoice.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. To learn more on this topic and to contact Bruce, visit his website at whereisgodsword.maplenoel.us. That's whereisgodsword.maplenoel.us. There you will find a vast array of resources on this topic, including copies of previous programs, articles by Bruce, and links to other recommended materials. Bruce is also available to speak to your church or organization. Again, that web address is whereisgodsword.maplenoel.us. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the faithful listeners in this area.